Today's daf is Nedarim Daf Ches. We are holding on the bottom of Daf Zayin and Beis, the last few words on the page. Today's shiur is sponsored by Duvi and Tova Kupfer, who's Chus Hatzlacha in various inyanim. As Hashem, today we're going to discuss different statements of Rav Gidol Amarav. We're going to start with three different. We already had yesterday two statements of Rav Gidol Amarav about Nidui. Now we're going to have three statements of Rav Gidol Amarav, all about Shavua for Kiyum HaMitzvos, for Torah and for Mitzvos, and whether such a Shavua is a binding Shavua. Then the Gemara in the middle of Amar Aleph is going to discuss Nidui B'Chalom. How seriously does one have to take it if in a dream he sees that he was put in a nidui, and how does one resolve that problem? Normally, the person that put you in a nidui could take you out of a nidui, but if it was in a dream, how does one resolve the problem of being in a nidui? And then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to begin to discuss nidrei ishto. If a person, a person's wife has nidarim, and for some reason he can't be made for the nidarim, the Rishonim discuss why that wasn't an option, but for some reason that's not an option, how does he take care of nidrei ishto? And then the daf is going to conclude, and really it's the discussion of the first Mishnah concludes over here, because tomorrow's a new Mishnah. The daf is going to conclude with a discussion of the great schar awaiting those who are careful about being motzi shem shamayim levatala. That we had mentioned the terrible punishments of someone who's motzi shem shamayim levatala. So now we're going to talk about the schar of someone who's careful about being motzi shem shamayim levatala. So let's begin. Last few words on the page on daf zayin amud beis. Va'amar of Gidol Amarav. How do we know that one takes a shvua to be mekayim a mitzvah? So what does that mean? How do we know that one takes a shvua? How do we know that the shvua is binding? How do I know that you're supposed to take a shvua? How do I know that you're not supposed to take a shvua, that it's not a problem to take a shvua? So this is machlokes rishonim, what exactly the Gemara is asking over here. But let's read it through first. Because the pasuk says, one takes a shvua to fulfill the mishpatei tzidkecha, to fulfill the mitzvos. What do you mean you take a shvua to fulfill the mitzvahs? You already have a shvua to fulfill the mitzvahs at Har Sinai. We already took a shvua to fulfill all the mitzvahs. What it's teaching me is that it's permissible for a person to provide himself with extra motivation to fulfill mitzvos by taking a shvua that he's going to fulfill the mitzvos. The Ran explains over here that originally may karaka salka daitach, that Rav Gida was coming to tell me that a shvua has the ability to be chal on a dvar mitzvah like it's chal on a dvar rishus, and that's what we're proving from the nishpati v'akayama, and that's why the Gemara asks, what do you mean that it has the ability to be chal? Mushpav yomeru, the Gemara in Shvua says that a person takes a shvua, it has to be, as the pasuk says, lahara o lehetiv, which means bidvar arishus, not bidvar mitzvah. A shvua doesn't work bidvar mitzvah. So how can you say that the shvua is going to be chal on a dvar mitzvah? And that's the Gemara's answer, that hakamashmalan deshari lelizruze nafshei. That you don't need the pasuk because to tell me that the shvua is going to be chal in terms of bal yachel, where it's coming to tell me that it's a davar hagun, that it's an appropriate thing to do, liyishava lekayim etz a mitzvah, to take a shvua to fulfill a mitzvah. And even people who are generally very careful about shvua and generally don't take shvuas, it's an appropriate thing to do to take a shvua. The Ran says that's the maskana of the Gemara, and not just shari leilinish lizruzei nafshei, but it's an appropriate thing lizruzei nafshei, even if it's a person who generally shies away from taking shvuas. That's how the Ran understands the back and forth over here, the discussion in the Gemara. There's a machlokas rishonim. Person is nishba lekayim es a mitzvah, and then he violates the shvua b'mezid. Does one get malchus for violation of such a shvua? Because the pasuk la'ra'u lehetiv is written legabe korban shvua. So when he violates and speaks about someone who violates b'shogeg, or do we say that this shvua is nismayit legamri? And even if you violate the shvua b'mezid, is enaloka. Meaning when the pasuk la'ra'u lehetiv excludes a shvua l'dvar mitzvah, does that mean a shvua l'dvar mitzvah is only excluded from karbon, or do we assume it's excluded entirely from the parsha of Shavuot, and even if you violate Bemezid, you're not going to get Malkus. The Shita of the Ran, in the part of the Ran that I didn't read over here, is that someone's Nishma L'Kayim Es HaMitzvah is only excluded from the Korban, but if he violates the Shavuot Bemezid, he gets Malkus, because the Gemara says in Mesach Shavuot Stav Chafei that all of the Miyutim that we exclude from based on the Pasuk L'Ra'a L'Hetiv is only L'Gabe Korban, not L'Gabe Malkus. That is the Shita of the Ran. However, the Ramban in the Melchamos and Rov Rishonim disagree and hold that the Shavua is Nisma'il Legamri from the Parsha of Shavua, and if a person violates such a Shavua on a Dvar Mitzvah, even Bemezid, he does not get Malkus. Why not? So the Ramban explains he doesn't get Malkus for the Pasuk Lo Yachel Dvaro Aval Mechel Hu L'Chafzei Shemayim. Pasuk says Lo Yachel Dvaro, that one cannot be Mechel Dvaro when he takes a Shavua in there. But we derive from there that it can be Mechel Hu L'Chafzei Shemayim, that there's no Isra of Bal Yachel when it comes to Chafzei Shemayim, when it comes to a Dvar Mitzvah. The Rush over here sounds like, from the Pasuk La'ra'a L'Hetiv, we learn the Ptur Malkus as well. That La'ra'a L'Hetiv tells me that the entire concept of Shavua is only La'ra'a L'Hetiv, but is not when it comes to, does not apply when it comes to a Dvar Mitzvah at all. So that is the fundamental Machlokas Rishonim between the Ran and many other Rishonim. Vayter in the Gemara, V'am Rav Gidol Amarav, Rav Gidol Amarav also told us, Ha'omer Ashkim Ve'eshne Perek Zeh. A person says, I'm going to get up early and I'm going to learn this Perek. Eshne Masechta Zu. I'm going to learn this Masechta. Neder Gadol Nadar Lelokei Yisrael. That is a very strong Neder Lelokei Yisrael. Frak the Gemara, why is that a very strong Neder? V'alo Mushma V'yomiru V'ein Shvua Chalal Shvua. We already are obligated in Talmud Torah. So if we're already obligated in Talmud Torah, how can a person take a Shvua on top of that obligation and have the Shvua take effect? My Kamash Melenda Filuz Ruze Bialma. Wow, what's it teaching me? That you're allowed to be Mizaris yourself? That you're for a little extra motivation? But that's the previous statement of Rav Gidol told us, Lizruze Nafshe. What's it adding over here when it comes to Talmud Torah? No, Ha Kamashmalan. This is what it's coming to tell me. Kivan di Bayi Pater Nafshe, Bukriya Shmashachris Varvis, Misham Hachi Chayil Shvua Ale. That since if one wanted to fulfill the bare bones basic obligation of Talmud Torah, one can fulfill the mitzvah simply by reading Kriya Shema in the morning and the evening, that's why the Shvua is going to be Chal when he takes a Shvua about additional limud, about Perek Zeh, about Masechta Zu. Then the Shvua is going to be Chal when it's about additional limud beyond the Kriya Shema Shachris V'Arvis. Now, a couple of things over here. Eshna Perek Zeh, Eshna Masechta Zu. Why does the Gemara have to say both of those things? Well, Perek Zeh, what difference does it make whether it's this much Torah or that much Torah? The bottom line is that it's more Torah than that it's more Torah than Kriya Shema Shachris V'Arvis. If it's more Torah than Kriya Shema Shachris V'Arvis, we get it. That's it. What difference does it make? How much more Torah? So some of the Achronim want to suggest that Perek over here doesn't mean a Perek of Shas or a Perek of Mikra. Perek is the lashon of a zman, of a specific time frame. What you're saying is the time, the hour between 2 and 3 o'clock, or the this specific time of the day. That's what the word perek over here means. That so it's either the person takes a shvua about a specific time of day that he's going to learn, or he makes a goal in terms of what he's going to learn. But those are two different types of shvuos, and based on that, he answers the kasha that the Achronim ask. I think the Rashash raises the question that a person is not mushpa mehar Sinai to learn dafka this mesechta, or to learn dafka, right, this perek, or this. No, but the person is mushpa mehar Sinai to learn Torah with all of his spare time. So that's the kasha that the Gemara asks of alo mushpa v'yomid, who is not going on mesechta zu, it's going on Perek Zeh, that all of one's time is already Meshubad for Talmud Torah. So that's why the Gemara is asking that he's already obligated. And to that the Gemara answers, no, he's not really already obligated, because one can get away with just Kriya Shema Shachris V'Arvis. What does that mean? You could just learn Kriyas Shema Shachar and that's it, and you fulfill the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. What are we all waking up at 6 o'clock in the morning to be here for? If one could just learn Kriyas Shema Shachar V'Arvis and be Yotzei the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So the Ran points out over here, Mistavrali, Delav Dafka, Debahachi Miftar. Now, it doesn't really mean that all you need to do is say Kriyas Shema Shachar V'Arvis. Shayachayev Kaladam Lilmo Tamid, Yom V'Laila, Kafi Kocho. One has to learn constantly, day and night. The Ran adds kifi kocho, based on his abilities, based on what life provides him with the opportunities to do. And how much do you have to learn? You have to learn until the Divrei Torah are mechudadim b'ficha. Where if someone asks you a question in learning, you should be able to respond right away that it's something that you know by heart, like something that you know. You should say it like Ashrei, like something that you know very, very well. So when can one stop learning Torah? You can never stop learning Torah. There's never a time where we're not going to be learning Torah if we want to achieve that level of mechudad and beficha. So what's this business of kriyas shema shachar v'arvis that the Gemara is assuming? So says the Ran, kriyas shema shachar v'arvis lo sagi lahachi. That doesn't work for your real mitzvah of Talmud Torah. El mikan yirli raya l'mashak safti perak shvur shtayim basra dekol midi da'asa midrasha afal pishu min ha-Torah kivin d'leisi mefurish b'krab behedya shvur chala alav. A big chiddush, the Ran says. Remember, we've been discussing the difference between those mitzvos that are mefurish b'kra, that are explicit in the pasuk, and that which is derived from a drasha. And we said, well, there's the famous taz, that one difference between that which is mefurish in the pasuk and that which is derived from a drasha is that chazal don't have the ability to make a takana against that which is mefurish in the pasuk, but they do have the ability to make a takana against that which is derived from a drasha, and that's why we're allowed to blow shofar on yontif, because chazal couldn't make a takana not to blow shofar on yontif, because there is shem yisak and klei shir. They're not authorized to make gezeros against what it's explicit in the Torah. And we saw in the Ran another difference, that which is mefurish in the pasuk, we say ein hekesh lemechza, that if there's a hekesh in the pasuk with something that's mefurish, the hekesh has to be complete. It can't go halfway. But that which is only derived from a drasha, the Ran was mechadish say yesh hekesh lemechza. Well, there's a third difference between that which is mefurish in the pasuk and that which is only derived from a drasha, and that's this difference: that something that's not mefurish in the pasuk beferish shvua chala alav. You can have a shvua bichala on it, even though it's a mitzvah d'oraisa. So there is a mitzvah d'oraisa to learn every single second of every single day, that a person has the ability to do so. But nevertheless, there's a shvua could be chala on that since it's not explicit in the Torah. What is explicit in the Torah? V'gis b'yom v'layla, to learn day and night. Kriya Shema Shachar V'Arvis. That's explicit in the Torah, that we have to say Kriya Shema Shachar V'Arvis. A Shvua cannot be Chal on that, on Kriya Shema Shachar V'Arvis. V'hacha hachi ka'aminan. And over here we're saying as follows, Kivin di'ibayi patr nafshi mimay d'chsiv b'kra behedya, dahainu b'shach b'chav kumecha. Since all it says in the Torah is b'shach b'chav kumecha, to read Kriya Shema Shachar V'Arvis, b'Kriya Shema Shachar V'Arvis, mishum hachi chol ha'shvua le'gamri, afilu l'karban. So that shvua should be chal completely, even for a karban. The shvua on anything else should be chal entirely, even for a karban, because it's not explicit in the pasuk. V'hainu d'kamer neder gadol, kilomer l'kol dinav, kidvar arshus. And that's why we use the lashon of neder gadol nadar, that it was a big neder. What does it mean, a big neder? Unlike when you're nishba l'kayim as a mitzvah, it's not a binding neder in the sense that there's no chiyuv karban, and it's a discussion in the Rishonim whether even chayiv malchus if you violate it b'mezid. When it comes to this neder, when it comes to the neder to learn Torah beyond what's explicit in the pasuk, that's a neder gadol. That's a fully binding neder with all the bells and whistles. It has a din of a neder l'dvar rishus where you're even going to be chayiv a karban. That's the great chiddush of the Ran, and we add it to the list of things that are halachic differences between that which is mefurish in the pasuk and that which is not mefurish in the pasuk. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Talmud Torah, Perak Aleph Halacha Ches, Kol Ish Mi Yisrael Chayiv B'Talmud Torah. Every man in the Jewish people is chayiv to learn Torah. And he goes on to say, Va'afilu Balishu Banim Chayiv L'Kvol Azman L'Talmud Torah B'Yomu B'Layla Shnemer V'Gisa B'Yomu B'Layla. That even if a person is very busy, he's got a family, he's got a job, and he has a lot to do, one must learn Torah every day and every night, because it says V'yigisa bo yomam v'layla. The Smag writes in Mitzvah Saseh Yud Beis that Bishaus Techukos, where a person is very caught up and he's very busy, we're so mech on what Rabbi Yochanan says that Afilu Lo Karel Kriyash Mashachus Varvis is Mekayim the Mitzvah of Lo Yomush, is Mekayim the Mitzvah of Lo Yomush Sefer HaTorah Zeh Mipicha. That's what the Ritva says as well, that if a person is unable to learn more, is in a very busy part of life, or something happens, he's tarred by Parnasaso, and he's not able to learn at all. So then, at the very least, he's somech on Kriyas Shema Shachris Va'arvis. Shulchan Aruch says, like the Rambam, that a person has to set aside time every day and every night. And the Ramah adds that point of Bishas Adchak, in those rare circumstances where there's mamish, no time during the day, there are no seconds during the day, we're somech on Kriyas Shema Shachris Va'arvis. So there's a machlokas achronim, according to the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch. The Lacha Mishnah understands that even the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch would hold that you just need to be koveya a short amount of time in the day and in the night, and you're not chayiv constantly in Talmud Torah, and even the Rabbanon are moda that you don't have to learn every single second. When the Gemara says midvar shel Rabbi, how some understand. The Stipler explains that generally speaking, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is every spare moment that a person has. I think Shulchan Aruch Rav says like this also, that the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is every spare moment. The question is, how do you define what's a spare moment? So certainly the time that a person is davening, the time that a person is earning parnasa, the time that a person is eating, so those aren't spare moments, those are moments that you need to be doing something else. So then everything else you have to work on, figure out exactly what's considered a spare moment. Certainly it's reasonable that a person needs some downtime, a person needs time to do other things, spend time with family, etc. But the question is, that's what the question really boils down to, how we define a spare moment. The Arsamech just adds, what elaborating on the two words that the Ran threw in over here, of kefi kocho, the Arsamech says that the mitzvah of Talmud Torah may be different, lefi tchunos nafsho v'yecholto, based on a person's own capabilities, based on the person, some people are more capable of more intense focus for longer periods of time, some people are less capable of that, so a person has to know himself and know what his maximum capacity is, and he should try to learn to that capacity, which is a very interesting idea, meaning one could have said that no, whatever you are, become better, become someone whose tchunas nafsho v'yecholto is to be able to sit for longer. We can train ourselves to do a lot more than we probably realize that we're able to do, but that's what the Arsameach says, and he says that we have sometimes that there are certain mitzvahs in the Torah that are absolute, that it doesn't depend based on who you are, what your capabilities are. Everyone's got to take Dalad Minim. Whether you feel like Dalad Minim is a mitzvah that talks to you, or you don't feel like Dalad Minim is a mitzvah that talks to you, you got to take Dalad Minim and Sukkah. It's not negotiable. It's not something that changes based on the person. But that which is not mefurish in the Torah, where it's not so explicit exactly what you have to do, that could be the definition of such mitzvot, Yosemech says, could be based on who a person is, based on what a person is, what his capabilities are. Very interesting idea that the Yosemech has. There's also a discussion over here in the Achronim, whether a person in general can fulfill two mitzvos at one time. We're saying over here that since if he wanted to pater himself from the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, b'kriyash m'shachros arvis, the shua would be chal. This is based on Gemara Menachos of Tzadi Tesson and Beis, that the Gemara says, lo karadim kriyash m'shachros arvis, kiyim lo yamish, that he's already mekayim lo yamish, sefer HaTorah Zeh Mipicha, he's mekayim the pasuk lo yamish, just by saying Kriyashma Shachris Arvis, which makes it sound like that a person could do one action and fulfill two different mitzvos with a single action. So that discussion comes up in a number of different contexts. And the Tshuva Sharei Dei discusses about a person fulfilling two mitzvos with one action. He brings a raya from Sukkah, Daf Mem Dalet and Beis. The Gemara says a person cannot be Yotze the mitzvahs Arava with the Arava Shabalulav. And the Gemara says, Mao Dete Mahani Mileichid Lagbe Vadragbehe, Avalechid Agbe Vadragbe Malo. I would have thought that that's only if you don't pick it up twice. But if you pick up your lulav twice, you yotze both the mitzvah of lulav and the mitzvah of arava for shvi for Hoshana Rabbah, where you have a special mitzvah of arava. Kamash Mlan, therefore comes to tell me, you know, even if you pick it up twice, you need a separate arava. So you see that even if a person is having kavana to fulfill two mitzvos with a single action, it does not work. A person has to do two separate, he needs agbe v'hadar agbe, only then was there even a havamina that he's Yotze. But by picking it up once, he's definitely not Yotze two mitzvos. So the question comes up in a number of different contexts, like I mentioned. In the Chuvus Maram Shik, he discusses when you have a leap year, so what do you do about the mitzvah of Zechiras HaMelech? Typically speaking, we assume the mitzvah of Zechiras HaMelech is every year. But does that make sense that in a leap year it should be every 13 months and in a regular year it should be every 12 months? Mistama means there's a mitzvah every 12 months to do Zechiras HaMelech at least once. So what do? We only do Parshas Zachar once a year. So in Maram Shik, he writes that when it comes time to do Parshas Ksetze, you should have in mind that you're trying to be Yotz in the mitzvah of Zechiras HaMelech. Does that work? Isn't that just the regular Kriya HaTorah? Aren't you trying to be Yotze just the regular Kriya HaTorah? One of the commentaries on the Maisa Rav suggests that maybe it's Tully in this Inyan. Can one do with single Maisa, a single action that's going to actually fulfill two mitzvahs, the regular mitzvah of Kriya HaTorah, plus a mitzvah of Zechiras HaMelech? The poskim discuss, the most common case where it comes up is, let's say a person takes money to say Kaddish for someone. A lot of times in yeshivas, for someone who's unable to say Kaddish, they'll pay someone to say Kaddish. And then the person who's saying Kaddish loses their own relative. So they're saying Kaddish anyway. Can the same Kaddish work for both Niftarim? Ramesh has the truth about this in Yardei Chelek Alef Siman Reish Nun Daled, and he says at the very least there needs to be at least one Kaddish a day for each of the Niftarim. If there's one that's designated for each one, then you could do it, but otherwise you shouldn't do it. Deborah Tzina said, no, what do you mean? Yeah, there's a chus of the Kaddish, go for as many people as you want. A lot of times people will sign up to learn Mishnayos for a Shloshim. So once I'm learning Kalim anyway, I might as well sign up for every single Shloshim, so that, because it's never taken anyhow. That way I'll be able to help so many different people. But if I'm only going to learn it once, can it count for so many different Niftarim? L'chora, that's the issue that Deborah Tzina and Moshe are arguing about. It comes down to this issue of whether a person could do one thing to fulfill many different chiyuvim. And now the final statement of Gidol Amrav. Amrav Gidol Amrav. Ha'omer l'chaveru, if a person says to his friend, Nashkim v'nishna perek zeh, let's get up early and go learn this perek. Alav l'hashkim, he has to get up early. Shenemer v'yomre elai kum tzei al abika v'shama dabro osach v'etzei al abika v'nesham kvod Hashem omeid. That he says, get up. Hashem says to him, get up in the morning and I'll meet you out by the bika. And Hashem was there. Kvod Hashem omeid. Hashem was already there when he showed up. So says the Ran, Tarti kamashmul. And the Ran says about 7 lines before the end of the page. We see two things from here. Chada de bekabala bialma ledvar mitzvah mahanya demay darmin hachalo hiskir lo neder velo shvua, that even if you just say b'lashon kabbalah, you never even use a lashon of a neder or a shvua. If it's for a dvar mitzvah, it's going to be binding. Dibur bialma sagi dumi demay darmin de kabbalah b'lchud manil tzedaka k'dichse b'ficha zut tzedaka v'adin l'kol dvar mitzvah. Very similar, says the Ran, to the way it works for tzedaka, that by tzedaka, just a verbal kabbalah for tzedaka, even without a lashon neder, without a lashon shvua, is binding. So that's not only a din in tzedakah, that's a din by every dvar mitzvah. Kabbalah bilchud works. And that's one chiddush. The second chiddush is, says the Ran, v'kamash mulanami da'alav lahashkim k'david kutchabrichu, that if you say, if you're the one that initiates and says, hey, let's start a new chavrusa, let's wake up early in the morning and we'll get together and we'll learn. So you got to be there first if you're the one that initiated. Because if you're the one that initiated the idea, then you should be the one that initiates actually showing up to be there for that chavrusa. That's what the Ran says is the chiddush of the Gemara. Amar Rav Yosef, period. So that's the end of the discussion of a neder for a shvua, for a dvar mitzvah, and for Talmud Torah. Moving on now. Amar Rav Yosef, niduhu b'chalom, tzarech yud b'nei adam lahatilo. If a person was put in nidui in a dream, he went to sleep, and in his dream they put him in cherem. So does he have to be noeg like he's in cherem? Meaning, does he have to do all of those things that one who's in cherem has to do? There are various halachos, third parak Amud Katan discusses. He has to be like an avel in a certain sense. That's why it's in third parak Amud Katan, where we discuss all the halachos of avelus. He has to act like an avel in a certain sense. So does he have to do that if it was only in a dream, says the Gemara? Yes, he needs 10 people to be matur the nidui. He has to take a nidui b'chalom seriously, as if it's a real nidui. The Ran and the Rush both say, why? Because it could be that it was b'shlichus hamakom nisnada. The bala chalom came to him as a shliach of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And the also says that chalom is ke'in nevua, that a dream could be like a type of nevua, and therefore it's binding. The major kasha all the achronim raise is that this seems to be directly against the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin. The seriousness with which this Gemara takes dreams seems to go against a Gemara in Sanhedrin about dreams. The Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us someone's father told him b'chalom, a father dies and comes to the son in a dream and says, you should know that there's a certain amount of money hidden, and he gives him the exact denomination, the exact amount of money, and it's located in this spot. If you go out to the field 10 paces to the east and then go, you, and you dig 5 feet down, you will find the money. And you should know all that money that you find there is Maaser Sheni, and it should be treated as such. And the son goes, he wakes up, and he goes out to the field, and he takes the 10 paces, and he digs 5 feet down, and he finds the money. Says the Gemara, you don't have to worry that it's Maaser Sheni, because Dibrei Chalom, Aslo Malin, V'lo Maridin. What do dreams know? Dreams don't mean anything. Everything else was right about the dream. Yeah, probably your father told you at some point, and you had forgotten, so subconsciously you reminded yourself. But you don't have to worry that it's Maaser Sheni money. That, you know, it's the Dibrei Chalom, Aslo Malin, V'lo Maridin. So all the Achronim raised, the Rishonim already raised the question. What do you mean, Dibrei Chalom? So over here we're saying that if you're putting a needle in a chalom, you have to take it very seriously. So this is how we answer this question is ultimately going to determine a lot about how seriously we take dreams. The Ran writes that a needle is different because min hashamayim niduhu. That a needle is something that comes min hashamayim. Rav Asher Weiss in his Minchas Asher and Sefer Bereishis quotes several other terutzim. Quotes from the Shivas Tzion that most chalomos are lo malim v'lo maridim, and therefore whenever what we should treat a dream as is a suffix. So if you have a suffix about money, whether the money belongs to you or the money belongs to Maaser Sheni, you could assume it belongs to you. Amotzi mechavero alav harayi. You can assume that it's all your money. Although the truth is, by Maaser Sheni, it's yours anyway. Maaser Sheni money is your money anyway. It's l'chora suffix yisr. It's a suffix daraisa, and l'chora we should go l'chumra. But okay, but maybe for some reason we could be makel on that money because of the suffix. But when the suffix is about a nidui is a curse that a person should die. That's what niduyim and charamim and shantas, that's what they are. So it's a suffix sakana. And a suffix sakana, even on the tiniest suffix sakana, not the tiniest, but even on very small suffix sakanas, we're going to be machmir. And that's why you have to look for a tara specifically on the nidui b'chalom, and it has to be taken seriously. Because of the gravity of what it is, because it's a nidui. He also suggests that a chalom is zechem mishishim b'nevuah. That's not his own suggestion. The Gemara says chalom is zechem mishishim b'nevuah, and most of the Nevi'im are misnave ala asid. The nevuah is about the future. A nidui is ala asid shatovo alav. A nidui means that there are bad things that are going to happen to the person. So it's predicting the future. Whereas in the case in the Gemara Sanhedrin, it was about the past. It's about what this money already was. So that's not a nevuah. What something already is isn't a nevuah. A nevuah is about the future. So the part of the dream that has to be taken seriously is a part that educates about the future, not that educates about the past. That's another suggestion of the Shivas Tzion. A lot of suggestions over here about how seriously to take dreams. Chassam Sofer writes in the Tshuva that the whole reason we're choshesh for a neder is that maybe that's taken in a dream is that maybe he was makabel something by yom, because a person is only cholim or hurei libo, only what he thinks about during the day. But that's only by a dvar mitzvah, by a neder for a dvar mitzvah or a nidui or something like that, but not for Maaser Sheni. So different suggestions that the achronim have. So says the Gemara further, so you need to find 10 people to undo this nidui. V'hu ditanu hilchasa. That's provided that these people that aren't just regular people, these are people that are learned. They're tanu hilchasa. Avol masnu v'lo tanu lo. But if they're only masnu and they're not tanu, then they're not the kind of people you want to take care of your nidui. What does that mean? People who are masnu v'lo tanu. And what does tanu hilchasa mean? The Ran has two interpretations over here. First he says, v'hu de masnu hilchasa. That he had a girsa that it's provided that these are people that are masnu hilchasa. Kolomar, de masnu la acherim. Avol tanu b'luchud lo de lo chashivi kulehai. That these are people that teach Torah to other people. But if they just learn Torah alone, but they don't teach Torah to other people, then they're not the people that you want to get you out of your nidui. It's considered a much higher madrega when people teach Torah to other people. That's what the Gemara says in Maseches Ksuvos, when the Gemara talks about going to a levaya, if there's not enough kavod for the mace, so you have an achrayus, a person has an achrayus to see to it that there's kavod. It's like a mace mitzvah when they to make a minyan at a funeral or something. So what if the person is a Talmud Chacham? So the Gemara says, if a person's Talmud Chacham, he learned Torah, then you need 600,000 people. Unless there are 600,000 people at the Levaya, you should go. Because just like the Nesina Satorah is with 600,000 people, when the Torah is taken away from us, it should be with 600,000 people. And the man de Masnu, the Gemara says in the second Baruch Suvas, and what if the person was Masnu, didn't just learn Torah, but taught Torah? Then there's no shir. No matter how many people there are, you should always go. If it was a great teacher of Torah, that's why Ben Gedolei Yisrael, who taught Torah to all of Klal Yisrael, through their Piskei Halacha, their Shiurim, you find hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people. Everyone goes to their Levayas, and that's the practice. The Gemara says, no matter how many people there are, we go Leman D'Masnu, a higher level for Leman D'Masnu. That's the first interpretation of the Ran. The Ika D'Garsi to Tanu Hilchasa, that the emphasis is not on the difference between Tanu and Masnu, but it's about what they learned. If it was Tanu Hilchasa, Hilchasa means Gemara. People who are experts in Gemara, for them, those are the kinds of people you're looking for to be matir your nidui b'chalom. But people who are Tanu, who learn Mishnayis, but don't learn Gemara, that would not be included. Sometimes when the Gemara talks about learning Gemara, it uses the lashon of Hilchasa, that learning halachos, because the Mishnayis were Masnu, that was just a lashon of learning the basic halachos. Tanu Hilchasa means the element of Gemara where we analyze halachos, and sometimes the Gemara uses the expression of Shimush Tamidei Chachamim. Shimush Tamidei Chachamim could mean providing physical support and help for a Talmud Chacham, but very often Shimush Talmud Chacham means actually learning Gemara, that in order to study by a Talmud Chacham, because learning Mishnayis is a text. So you memorize the text, you know the text, and it's very straightforward, it's very simple. But Gemara requires a Rebbe. To learn Gemara, a person needs to be Mishamish Talmid Chachamim in order to learn Gemara from a Rebbe properly. People who try to learn Gemara without a Rebbe typically don't have the proper direction in how to learn Gemara. The Ilaka de Tanu Hilchasa Afilu Masnu V'lo Tanu, we just read, I think. And if there's no one that's Tanu, oh no, we didn't. If there's no one that's Tanu Hilchasa, then Afilu Masnu V'lo Tanu. Then you could even find the second-rate people to be Matir Nidui. The Ilaka, and if you can't even find those people, here's what you should do. Lezav Lezav HaProshas Drachim, you should go out to the crossroads, V'yav, meaning go to a busy intersection, V'yav Shalom Lebei Asara, and keep saying Shalom Aleichem to people, until you say Shalom Aleichem to 10 people, Ad Mikali Le'asara to Gamri Hilchasa, until you can gather together 10 people who are Gamri Hilchasa. What does that mean? What are you doing exactly over here? You're going out to an intersection and doing and saying Shalom Aleichem to people for what purpose? So the Ran and Tosfos explain that by them responding Shalom Aleichem back to you, that will protect you from Yisurim until you get to the point where you're able to collect 10 people who are actually qualified to be Matir Yenidoi. Meaning in the meantime, there's still a curse on the person that he should die. So in order to protect himself from Yisurim, he needs a zechus. What zechus should he use? It should be the zechus of other people wishing him the wonderful blessing of Shalom Aleichem, that you should be good, that everything should be good by you. So that it's, and then some of the Rishonim say, no, it's the Mefarish says, no, it's al yedei their response that you're actually going to be matir the nidoi. It's not just to hold you over till you find proper people to be matir the nidoi. Their response is actually going to serve to be matir the nidoi. And that's the idea of getting the Shalom Aleichem. Now, how could it be that the nidoi is going to be hutar by 10 people saying Shalom Aleichem back to you? So the Sefer Nidre's reasons suggest that the Mefarish must hold that a menudah is asr b'sheil shalom. And I mean, we know the menudah is asr b'sheil shalom. So just like by an eved that is a Rebbe teaches him Torah or he puts on tefillin is yotzei l'cherus, the halach is in Shulchan Aruch, the Gemara says that as a way, one of the ways that the master can show that he's freeing the eved is by treating the eved in a way that you wouldn't normally treat an eved, that you wouldn't normally doing things with an eved that an eved wouldn't normally be allowed to do. So too, through actions we can show that the person is not a nidui. By 10 people responding to him, shalom aleichem, and showing that there's no isur of shela shalom, that alone takes away the nidui. It happens to be the Rambam, when he discusses these halachs, discusses the nidui b'chalom, doesn't mention this whole idea of going and greeting 10 people. And the Kesef Mishnah suggests that the Rambam must understand that the nisina shalom doesn't actually do anything. The Gemara is just saying that go to a precious rachim, maybe that's where you'll be able to find 10 appropriate people. It's just giving you an etzah of where to find people. And therefore the Rambam doesn't have a need to quote this la halacha at all. Vayter in the Gemara, Amar le Ravina le Ravashi, Yad man shamta mau de lishrei. If you know in your dream who was that put you in the shamta, so can you just go to that guy? Let's say in your dream it was your next door neighbor who put you in the cherim. Can you go to him and have him be matir the cherim? Because the person who put you in it has the ability to be matir it. Amar le lishmutei shav yishliach le mishrei le lo shav yishliach. Maybe the person was only yishliach of a Kadosh Baruch Hu to put you in the shamta, but not to take you out of it. Amar le Ravach le Ravashi, shamta v'shar le bchal me mai. What if in the dream you saw that you were put in the cherim and that you were taken out of the cherim? So can you assume you're okay because in the dream you were also taken out of the cherim? I'm like, shem sheyefsha lebar below teven, kach yefsha lechalom below dvarim betelim. Just like you can't have a silo of grain without some straw, without some garbage stuck in the middle, so too you also can't have a dream without dvarim betelim. So we assume that that which you were put in the cherim you have to take seriously. That which is that which you were taken out of the cherim in the dream is considered to be dvarim betelim. That's the assumption. We split the dream into two parts. The Chasam Sofer writes in the Tshuva that maybe that's only when there are two clearly distinct parts of a dream. But if it's all just one image that you see, then maybe you would not be able to divide it and say, I take this half seriously and the other half not as seriously. Like a person has a dream that he's accepting to be machmer and himself a certain chumrah. So there are no two parts. It's just that. So then he says you have to take the whole thing seriously. Okay, Ravina avala nidra l'dibitu. Ravina's wife had a neder. Asal k'meder Ravashi. And for some reason Ravina couldn't take care of it. The Rishonim say either he was already mekayim it, or it wasn't dvarim shebeino levena. It wasn't the kind of thing that that a husband is able to be made for. So asal k'meder Ravashi. He went to Rav Ashi to deal with it. Apparently Rav Ashi was his Rebbe. Shidim Gvetzis points out that this is not the normal Ravina or not the normal Rav Ashi. When we talk Ravina v'Rav Ashi or Masada the Gemara, it's not this Ravina v'Rav Ashi, because we always have Ravina before Rav Ashi. It must be Ravina was the older one or Ravina was the more chashuv of the two. And over here, Ravina's going to Rav Ashi as Rav Ashi is the Rebbe in this story. So either it's a different Ravina or it's a different Rav Ashi or both. So he came to Rav Ashi, can a husband be a shliach to express his wife's charata? Normally, in order to undo the neder, you need to go in front of the basin and express charata over the neder. Can a husband be a shliach for a wife to do so? He says, if you happen to see a basin together, so then you can take advantage of the presence of the basin and do it. But you're not supposed to put together a basin for that purpose. We see three things. That technically a husband can be a shliach for his wife's charata. Normally you cannot make a shliach, but ishto kigufo allows a husband to be a shliach. We see that you can't be matir neder in your Rebbe's place, and that's why you couldn't just get three people together. You had to ask a shayla. That if they're already gathered together, then you're allowed to take advantage of that. Poskim say this halacha l'maisa. Erev Rosh Hashanah, people have a minute to be matir neder. What about your wife's nedarim? So Poskim say that if your wife makes you a shliach to be matir neder, and anyway you're getting a basin together to be matir your neder, you could be a shliach for a charata. You should say v'chein ishti mischareit al kal nedarim v'charam neshvus visa, whatever all the whole lashon of hataras nedarim, and then the basin should have kal mutarim lachem akol shuim lachem in the plural for one and one's wife. Rav Shlomo Zalman writes in Lich Shlomo that it doesn't seem that's the minhag though. It doesn't seem that people really do that, and women rely on kol nidre for whatever reason. But technically it works. Many of the poskim recommend it. V'shamta afilu ba'asra d'rabe. Also, a shamta even in your Rebbe's location you're allowed to do. You don't need to get rishus because a shamta is so serious. It's not just a neder. V'yachl mumcha shari shamta. And a yachl mumcha, you don't need a bezin. Even a yachl mumcha could be matir a shamta. Amr Rabbi Shimon bar Zvid, Amr Rabbi Yitzchak bar Tavla, new topic, Amr Rabbi Chia, Aricha, Debe Rabbi Yacha, Amr Rabbi Zera, Amr Rabbi Lazar, Amr Rabbi Chanina, Amr Rabbi Mia, Shem Shmei, Rabbeinu Rav Yehuda Bar Ilai, great Tafyomi lines. My dechsev, what does the pasuk mean when it says Vizarchalchem Yirei Shemi, that it should shine for you the Yirei Shemi, those who fear my name. Elu bnei Adam shen Yirei in lahotzi Shem Shemayim levatala Shemesh Tzdaka Umerape. That's a reference to people who are afraid of Shem Shemayim levatala, who are very careful about Shem Shemayim levatala. So Shemesh Tzdaka Umerape, they're going to have the sun will be their refuah. That's a special reward for people who are careful about that. There are people that are extremely careful. My Rebbe always says that Rav Shach said when it comes to the bracha on Chatzi Halal, he'll always just be Yotze with the Shliach Tzibur. He doesn't say the bracha himself because you can. Why should you risk saying a bracha on a Chatzi Halal? It's a whole diyun in the poskim whether you should say a bracha. So might as well be Yotze with the bracha of the Shliach Tzibur. When it comes to the bracha of Sfiras Homer, for example, or when it comes to the bracha of one of the brachas in the Birchas HaShachar, is not from the Gemara, it's from later. So also he tries to be Yotze the Birchas HaShachar with other people. Some people are very nervous about Shem Shemayim Levatal, even things that are widely accepted, that people say these brachas all the time. Very nervous about it. So there's a special schar for such people. Amr Rabbi Shemamina Charga Diyom Emasi. We see that the sun provides healing. And this is against Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, who derives that this pasuk is not talking about the sun as we know it. Da'amar Ein Gehenim L'Olam Haba Elek Rosh Baruch Hu Motzicham Min Artika. There is no Gehenim in Olam Haba, meaning after in the world after Tchias HaMesim. Rather, what's HaKadosh Baruch Hu going to do? He's going to take the sun out of its protective covering. Tzadikim Mishrabim Ba Rishayim Nidonim Ba. And it's going to be great for Tzadikim and terrible for Rishayim. Shnemar V'zorchol Chem Yirei Shmi Shemesh V'lo Od El Rishayim Adnin Ba. Not only that, Tzadikim will get enjoyment from it. Shnemar V'yitzasim Pishim Kagalei Marbeik V'Rishayim Nidonim Ba. And the Rishayim are going to be punished with it. Shnemar Hine Yom Ba Boer Ketan Rav Gomer. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up with the second Mishnah Maseches Nedarim tomorrow.